Well, please open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament. Please find the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And this evening we're going to take in verses 14 to 18. Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 to 18. And as we come to our next sermon in this chapter, I wonder, have we ever been with someone who gives a good example to follow? Perhaps it was martial arts training and our mentor or coach showed us a good example when it came to technique and physical conditioning. Elsewhere, our boss continues to show us how to achieve a professional and pleasing cut on that cricket square. Meantime, it could be that sister's approach to a short devotional, or that brother's aptitude during some door-to-door work in the village. Have we ever been with someone who gives a good example to follow? You know, having someone around us that we can look up to, having someone in our lives who sets a good example, knowing someone like this is so helpful. And as we get closer to our passage now, as we get ready to take in Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 to 18, our narrator is going to speak to us about that time when Joshua sets Israel a good example by promising to follow the Lord. Now, by way of context, and for anyone who might not know, we're coming to the end of the book of Joshua. And as we do, we find an elderly Joshua taking time to speak to everyone associated with the nation of Israel. And thinking specifically about chapter 24, the living Lord God has been speaking through Joshua and reminding Israel of his amazing grace to his firstborn, to his chosen people. In Joshua chapter 24 and verses 1 to 13, we have spent time thinking about the Lord God's divine calling on Israel's founding fathers. We've spent time reflecting on Israel's rescue by the Lord after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. We've considered the defeat of that Pharaoh in the Red Sea. We've thought about the Lord's provision for Israel and the defense of Israel during those wilderness years. And we've also considered the Lord's decisive action on behalf of his chosen people in the promised land of Canaan. And then, as we got to verse 13, do we remember? Verse 13 reminded us that not one word of the Lord God failed in respect of his people. For sure, things did not unfold quickly, but the living Lord God has been entirely faithful to his people in Israel. His promises, his grand covenant, it's come to pass. Following on from all the action experienced by Israel, the living Lord God, he says to his people at verse 13, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities, plural, that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You, Israel, you eat the fruit of vineyards, plural, and olive orchards that you did not plant. And as verse 13 gives way to verse 14, Joshua now takes in hand all that the Lord has been saying to Israel. And at verse 14, Joshua says to Israel, can we see this in our Bibles? Verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. So at verse 14, we begin with a connecting word. I'm sure we spotted this. We begin with the word therefore. And that word compels us to look back at what our narrator has been saying to us. And having already done that by way of introduction as part of our background checks, as verse 14 moves on now, and in consideration of all that the living Lord God has done for Israel, Joshua commands Israel. He tells Israel to fear the Lord. Joshua tells Israel to be in awe of the one true and living God who has done so much for his people. And then as we move forward just a little bit more, in consideration of all that the Lord has done for his people, Israel is told to reverence the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Can we see that there? Opening this, Israel is to be loyal to the Lord, and she is to be, as we explore that word, faithfulness, she is to be firm in her convictions about the Lord God's covenantal promises to her. And as Joshua commands in Israel this single-minded and exclusive attitude towards the Lord, Israel must, did we catch this, as verse 14 comes to the end, Israel must put away, or Israel must throw away, the gods, small g, that her founding fathers and immediate relatives followed. Yes, Israel, chosen by the living Lord God before any other nations in the world, Israel, throw away those pathetic man-made things that you are putting your trust in. Get rid of those things that are deaf, blind and dumb and do not save, and wholeheartedly give yourselves to the Lord. Now, pausing for a moment to unpack Joshua's reference to idol worship amongst God's people beyond the river and then in Egypt. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2, the Lord pointed out to Israel how Abraham and his family were worshipping false gods beyond the river before the Lord called Abraham by faith. Yes, in every sense, Abraham was a long way off from the one true and living God before he acted in great grace towards his servant Abraham. And then concerning Joshua's reference to Israel's idolatry in Egypt, in Leviticus chapter 17, and don't worry, I'll read it for us. But in Leviticus chapter 17, the Lord is instructing Moses on the place of sacrifice for Israel. And having given his instructions about the place of sacrifice, the Lord God then says the following to Moses in Leviticus chapter 17 and verses 5 and 7. Some extracts from those verses. The living Lord God says, this is to end that the people, or rather, this is to the end that the people of Israel may bring their sacrifices that they sacrifice in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord, to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and sacrifice them as sacrifices of peace offerings to the Lord. So they shall no more sacrifice their sacrifices to goat demons, after whom they whore. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. And as we briefly step back from our cross-reference, we're reminded how even after Israel has seen the Lord God do astonishing things for her, the residue of sin, the legacy of sin, our corrupted nature, it's so hard to shift. But like every good leader who wants the Lord to be honored and who wants to see the people growing in their relationship with the Lord, Joshua, he does not duck the issue of idolatry in Israel, even if noses are put out of joint. Concerned for the spiritual well-being of Israel, Joshua tells Israel to sort out her heart for the Lord and throw away, get rid of anything that is a stumbling block to faith in him. To get rid of anything that hinders relationship with God the Savior. And as we come to verse 15 now, verse 15 underlines to us how serious Joshua is about this matter. At verse 15, we see Joshua's concern for Israel as some limp along, caught between two opinions, as some in Israel struggle to live exclusively for the Lord in accordance with his laws and statutes. And conscious of this reality in Israel, at verse 15, Joshua presents Israel with a stark and, yes, pressing decision. Please look at verse 15 with me as I read it. Joshua continues before Israel, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, well, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as we consider verse 15, I don't know about you, but this is the best sort of preaching, isn't it, from Joshua? I mean, as we remember the detail of the Lord's work for Israel between verses 1 and 13, as we remember how not one word of the Lord has failed regarding his firstborn, well, verse 15 then squeezes Israel's heart in an authoritative way, doesn't it? Israel, if you think it's a bad choice to serve the Lord after all his faithful and gracious and loving service to you, well, make up your minds quickly. Get on with the matter and settle it. And choose today the type of God or gods that you truly want to serve. A fascinating thing to say in many ways, because in times past, Scripture shows us that it has been the Lord who has done the choosing on behalf of Israel. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, by way of quick example, not long after the living Lord God took Israel out of Egypt, Israel is found by the mountain at Sinai. And in Exodus chapter 19 and verses 3 through 6, the Lord God says this to Moses. Please listen. To Moses, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you, how I carried you on eagle's wings, how I lifted you up, and then critically, and how I brought you to myself. How I made that decision to bring you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So using scripture, using this cross-reference, we can say that the living Lord God, he has history with Israel when it comes to this matter of choosing on behalf of his people. Now, however, as we get back to Joshua and Israel in the land of Canaan, Joshua is laying out a stark choice for God's people as Joshua comes towards the end of his life. They can, God's people can choose to embed themselves with thousands of false gods, either from times past beyond the river, or indeed they can look around and follow those false gods that they find in the land of Canaan, or in these moments presented to them, they can make up their minds before God to commit themselves to their Savior and their Lord. And as verse 15 ends, well, it's here that our theme for this evening is made out. As verse 15 ends, Joshua, the son of Nun, he gives Israel a good example to follow. He gives them the best example to follow. Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, we will." Can we hear how emphatic God's servant is? We will serve the Lord. And as we reflect on Joshua's determination to show the people of Israel the choice that he is going to make, the choice that he's going to stick with, his loyalty and determination towards the Lord has, for this time at least, it has a significant impact on the minds and hearts of his listeners amongst the tribes of Israel. Because at verses 16 to 18, the last set of verses for this evening, Israel responds in a positive way. Israel pledges allegiance to the Lord. And then Israel goes on to mention various ways in which the Lord God has been at work for his people. And we can read this for ourselves at verses 16 to 18. Please follow again. "Having heard all that Joshua has said, having listened to his public pledge and promise," verse 16, "then the people answered, 'Well, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for or because he is our God.'" And as we come to the end of tonight's text, and as we allow what is effectively a scene in which Israel renews her commitment to the Lord's covenantal promises, well, what about us in 21st century Fulling Mill Lane? For sure, we haven't witnessed 10 plagues on Pharaoh's Egypt. And nor did we see those walls of water in the Red Sea. And nor did we drink water from a rock. And neither did we taste that quail or manna. And nor has the Lord led us personally to countless victories over many ites, or caused the heavenlies to fight for us, or literally given us cities that we have not built and farmland that we have not had to cultivate. But I say to you, brothers and sisters, this evening, and you listening online, look again. Come with me to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and look carefully at that way of suffering through those narrow streets in Zion. Look there by faith, brothers and sisters, and what do we see? We see by faith the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, disfigured, covered in blood, unrecognizable. And he is walking slowly with that heavy crossbeam on his shoulders. And we can hear from Scripture's record the shouting and the jeering and the cursing. We can also hear his close followers lamenting. And then there it is. There is that small hill they call Calvary. And there on Calvary's hill hangs the sinless Son of Man, willing to be forsaken and crushed by his Father in heaven for all our transgressions and sins of the past, today, and right to the end. Willing to be forsaken and crushed so that all our iniquities might be washed away and so that we might know peace with God. And as we reflect on these things ordained in eternity for us, I ask you, brothers and sisters, in consideration of all that Jesus Christ endured for us, just as Israel under Joshua has been looking back and thinking carefully about all God the Savior has done for her, so tonight we look back, don't we? And we consider with amazed hearts all that Jesus Christ has endured for us and promises to give to us. And in consideration of all these things, so the question lands powerfully for us, whom will we choose to serve today? After our time together here, and after those anticipated light refreshments in the church hall, will we choose to serve Pornhub? Or will we choose the local pub? Will we choose that career ahead of fellowship here? Will we choose illegal drugs? Will we choose those dark hours of doom scrolling on our Android or whatever the other thing is called? Will we choose anger and uncontrolled emotion? Will we choose words that tear down rather than words that build up? Will we choose gym membership ahead of church membership? Will we choose our shopping trips? Will we choose our finances? Will we choose social events and our sexual events? Will we choose gossip and slander? Will we choose impatience and negativity? Or will we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, choose to serve the Lord in all sincerity and faithfulness? Surely, with our eternal well-being at stake, we long, don't we, to take Joshua's words for ourselves. Well, as for me and my household, this body that the living Lord God has joined together, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And how I long for every soul in this house to commit to these terms. Because these are terms that speak to a people who are growing in their knowledge and love of the Lord. And while lots of us are using our lives as a thank you to the Lord, as a consequence of all that he has done for us, tragically, some in our number are not. In fact, some are drifting away from the Lord and from his people. Their first love, it seems, is cooling. They are playing fast and loose with their eternal state. They are happy to blame others without taking account of themselves And to these ones amongst us, I say, repent while you have time. And take encouragement from the scriptures. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Finally, to anyone who is currently outside the kingdom of God, who or what are you going to serve today? If you continue to serve the principles and the powers that are found in this fallen world, well, in the end, you shall be eternally condemned to hell. However, if you choose today to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God's word is sure, God's word is true, you will be saved. You will be saved by his grace and you will be saved to serve. And one day soon, you shall be welcomed into heaven to live with him forever. Therefore, and while there is still time today, let all of us choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is only Christ who saves. Amen.